Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. What he prayed right there before he died reveals his heart. It reveals the Father's plan. It reveals our hope. He prays for what we need. Forgiveness. As they were sinning against the sinless Son of God, he prays, Father, don't hold this sin against them. When you look at that, you see the heart of Jesus. I mean, it's one thing to think about Jesus going to the cross and taking the penalty, bearing the shame. But it's another thing to think that as he's taking that penalty, as he's bearing the shame, that the very people who are executing him, he's praying for their forgiveness. I find hope in that. Because that's where I'm at. I'm the one, just like them, who's saying, crucify. I made those choices like they made those choices. But he had in his heart our well-being above his own. He wasn't seething in anger. We've all been offended at times and controlled ourselves. We've just held it back to show the strength that we have, that we would not lash back. That's not what he's doing. He's expressing compassion. He's seeing their actions. He's not denying their sin. He's seeing that sin, and yet he's praying that God would release them from the consequences. How could he do that? Peter tells us in 1 Peter that he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. He just kept turning it over to God as he went through that day. You're in control. I believe it. I'm resting in you. But as he did that, do you realize he was also showing us the Father? You know, he said to Philip earlier that evening, he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Sometimes when we think of God the Father, we tend to think of him differently than Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ reveals the Father to us. And so even the Father feels that compassion for us. Sometimes when I talk to people, they say, well, I feel okay about approaching Jesus. I don't feel good about approaching Father. That's a misunderstanding of Scripture, friends. Because they are the same in character. They are the same in attitude. And yet we do come to the Father through Christ, trusting his provision. But here Jesus is displaying to us that even as we're killing his Son, the Father is still seeking our good. That's how he feels about us. As his heart is collapsing, he's pouring out his heart for us. He didn't just die to pay the penalty for sin. It says Jesus died for sinners. It wasn't just a price to be paid. It was a people. It was you and me that he was paying for. Not just the bill, but individuals who had individually rebelled against God, who had individually rejected God, who had individually known better and chosen worse. And he said, "For you, I lay down my life." Friends, why would he do that? That love that he had was such that he did not want you and I to experience eternal damnation. That he died to rescue us from an eternal hell. Because he loved you. Because he loves you and me. Do you ever think that you were actually worth dying for? He said, "You are. I love you that much." He died fulfilling the Father's plan. The scriptures say that was going all the way back before the foundation of the world. I can't comprehend that. But God had a plan. And we see it revealed all the way through the scripture right from the beginning in the garden. God began to show, this is the plan. There will be a lamb that will take the sin of the world. So he took our place. It says he himself bore our sin in his body on that cross. I find it interesting in that spot when Peter's describing that, he doesn't say he bore the sin of the world in his body. Which was true. He says that elsewhere. But right here he says he bore our sin. It is so amazing that God makes this so personal that you would never come to this memorial and think that was for them and not for me. That you would think somehow there was something that I did that made me not worthy of this sacrifice. No, the sacrifice was for our sin, for mine, for yours. And as he died, it said he demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. I don't know why it seems to happen this way, but sometimes after we've been walking with Jesus for a while, we kind of forget how far we've come. And we begin thinking, okay, Now I'm more worthy. Now I'm doing better. And then we'll do something stupid like Peter and deny him. And we're so shocked. You know, and we're just so ashamed. And yet, you know, Jesus knew what Peter was going to do. He knew what Judas was going to do. He knew what his disciples were going to do. And knowing that those that he loved that much were indeed going to deny him and were indeed going to abandon him, were going to run away from him, knowing that, he still said to them that night, "This bread is my body, it's for you. This cup is my blood, it's for you." He gave that to them as a memorial that night, knowing that before the night was done, they'd act like it didn't matter. And I bring that up to say, it does not matter where you've been. It matters where you're going. It matters who you're looking to. There's nothing that you can do that has not already been paid for by Jesus Christ upon that cross. Nothing. And so we come tonight celebrating love. We come tonight celebrating forgiveness. He has bore our sin. He's paid that penalty in full. That stuff that no one else knows, those things you've thought that no one else has ever known you thought, Jesus knows. And he said, yeah, that's why I went there. He will never go, oh, I didn't know you'd do that. That's our pride. We're the ones always surprised when we fall again, you know. But not him. And yet, the forgiveness that we're celebrating tonight has to be received by faith. It's not something that just because it's done, it's done. Oh yes, Jesus paid it in full. When he hung up on that cross, he said, it is finished. So it's fully paid for. But you and I must draw near believing that was for me and receiving that as for me. Only faith will receive the gift. You will never deserve it. You can never earn it. And you know what? That's good. See, if you're thinking somehow I'm going to pay it back, you're thinking somehow I'm going to do it right, you're going to live the rest of your life on a bicycle that's going to exhaust you, trying somehow to pedal good enough for God. But if you recognize that you will never, ever pay it back, and he doesn't intend for you to pay it back, he just intends for you to receive it by faith and say, it's a gift. We says there in Romans 3, he says, we are justified as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. You can never pay it back. You can give him thanks. You can live a life of gratitude. But that'll never pay. That just acknowledges how great he is. And so, faith will receive the gift. Have you? Have you received the gift that he gave for you? It says in Acts 10:43 that everyone who believes on him receives forgiveness of sins. Now I look at that two ways. One, that time when you come to that place in your life where you recognize that you're a sinner separated from the Savior and deserving hell, and you come saying, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, save me, that you receive forgiveness of sins. And yet every time we choose again to reject his will, we can come back and receive that gift. The forgiveness is already paid for. The price has already been paid. It's us receiving the cleansing of the guilt and the shame and the evil that we've chosen. He's already paid for it. And so, as we come tonight, is there something there that you haven't believed him for? Not that you haven't necessarily believed him. I'm trusting that you have, and if you have not, then tonight's the night. Believe that Jesus Christ, the Savior, died for you. But if you, having believed he died for you, and yet somewhere along the way you did something and you said, never. It'll never be forgiven. I'm here to tell you it already is. And by faith, you can receive that. There's nothing not paid for. Friends, Jesus is God's provision for us. And He is our only hope. But He's enough. Isn't that good thought? He's enough. And so as we come tonight, we come to remember the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sin of the world. He takes it away. Don't hold on to that. Don't keep wallowing in that misery. Don't keep wallowing in that fear. Don't keep wallowing in that anxiety. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What you need to look at tonight is, He's enough. For tonight, for tomorrow morning, for tomorrow night, and forever. He's enough. Friends, He is the only hope of forgiveness. Would you pray with me right now just to prepare your heart? I'd like to ask those who are serving if they would come at this time. Oh Lord, we just come right now just to prepare our hearts, just to acknowledge that we doubt You, we disobey You, we deny You, we avoid You. In some way, we've done probably some of all of that today. And yet, You are enough. And so Jesus, we just come right now. Say thank You that You are enough for me, for us, for everyone. Open our hearts to drink this in. Lord, would You right now, would you break those lies, that shame that the evil one has kept, thinking that somehow there's still a stain upon our soul when You have washed us clean. Thank You that it's gone. You have taken away the sin of our world. And so we come to You tonight to receive this bread as a gift, as a remembrance, as a substance that takes us back to Your brokenness. For our brokenness. We thank You for it. Be exalted in our faith. We thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Sing the truth. Make a And a man named Joseph, who'd been a member of the council, a good and a righteous man. He had not consented to their plan and action. A man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down. And he wrapped it in a linen cloth and he laid him in a tomb cut in the rock, where no one had ever laid. And it was the preparation day. And the Sabbath was about to begin. And the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And so they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. Everyone who believes on him receives forgiveness of sin. Sometimes that may seem impossible to you. That night, all that Jesus had said seemed impossible to his disciples. because the light of life was extinguished in front of them. As you go tonight, I'm going to ask that you just would just go quietly, thankfully. It's Friday. It's dark. But Sunday's coming. Father, thank you. There are those days in our life when it seems impossible that your will is going to work for good. And yet it will. There's those days and those events when we could not conceive how you could rescue this, how you could redeem this. But you do, you have, and you will. And Jesus is our example. And so tonight we bring you those things that are still broken in our life, those things that we still don't understand, and we just say, blessed be your name. You alone are God. You alone know. You are right. You are good. You are holy. We will trust you, even in the dark. Because we believe a better day is coming. And we wait for it. Now may the hope and the assurance of the one who died for you secure your heart before him as you rest in the sufficiency of what he has done, believing him as enough. It is finished. Go in peace. God bless you.